Welcome to D-Backs Podcast.
The future.
Technology and stuff.
This is the official podcast of the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Sports, 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 sports.
From the field to the front office, the ballpark to the broadcast booth, it's time to talk D-Backs baseball.
Just think about baseball.
Here are Greg Schulte and a high drive to left. Back she goes. And Steve Berthew.
Look at Chris Owens.
Play ball.
From Chase Field in downtown Phoenix, Arizona, where we are about to play the final two games of the Cactus League schedule. Cubs in here tonight and tomorrow. This is D-Backs Podcast. We are the official podcast of the Arizona Diamondbacks, and we are coming to you from back where it all began, at least in terms of this podcast. We have come full circle, guys. This was the site, of course, of the memorable Episode 1, which was back in December, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, the home radio booth here at Major League Baseball's most unique venue, Chase Field. This is where we recorded our first few episodes over the winter, and now we are back home again. And at long last, finding ourselves on the precipice of a highly anticipated opening day, the 2015 regular season, which begins here Monday against the world champion San Francisco Giants. Mad Bum and Company will be here Monday. I'm Steve Berthew. Welcome to Episode 16. We started this show in this booth before the winter meetings. We moved to the umpire's dressing room at Salt River Fields for several shows where part of our staff actually had to set up in the men's room. Those were heady days. And then we moved to the home radio booth at the ballpark, saw several new attendance records set this spring there. It was a great Cactus League season as fans packed the ballpark at Talking Stick. And now we have made it back to where the podcast began. It's from here that we will continue the show throughout the season. D-Backs Podcast is with you throughout the year like a pesky toenail fungus. We'll also take the show with us on the road from ballparks all over the big leagues, which should be a lot of fun. Big show here, a lot of news to talk about. You get a shiver in the dark, it's raining in the park, but meantime, south of the river you stop and you hold everything. Those are the beginning lyrics to a song called Sultans of Swing by Dire Straits, which I would have at or near the very top of my personal list of greatest rock and roll songs of all time, Sultans of Swing. And I thought especially, guys, appropriate given what we've seen from the Diamondback offense throughout spring training. We'll discuss that shortly. But here on the pod, as always, the longtime broadcast voice of the D-backs. And Harry doesn't mind if he doesn't make the scene. He's got a daytime job. He's doing all right. He can play the honky-tonk like anything, saving it up for Friday night with the Sultans. With the Sultans of Swing. It's the Earl of Grantham, the Governor, Greg Schulte.
I was waiting for that Earl of Grantham thing. I didn't think you were going to do it.
We were here for Evening on the Diamond last night. Somebody was giving away a Downton Abbey trip,
yeah,
and I thought you would bid.
Nice cowboy hat you had on last night.
I didn't get the cowboy hat memo.
You look pretty.
What was
creepy.
That? It's a cowboy hat.
Leo is blowing up my phone. You weren't even there, by the way.
But I had a cowboy hat. I was at home. I still had a cowboy hat on.
Even Candy had a cowboy hat. Tom Candiotti is with us as well.
Well, that cowboy hat was purchased a long time ago for one reason, and that was to get Clint Eastwood's autograph.
So,
and that's it.
So we have.
Did you get it?
Yeah, I got it.
We have
the
Evening on the Diamond, which is an annual event. It's a great night to celebrate all the charitable work and community work that the Diamondbacks do, and it has a Western theme. And the Gub and Candy and Bob Brenly all show up wearing cowboy hats, and I'm the only guy there without a cowboy hat. I think you guys.
We tweeted out the picture too. It looks pretty good.
And
look a little out of place.
I got killed on Twitter because I didn't have my. But Candy actually wore a cowboy hat signed by Clint Eastwood.
That was tough. But you know, luckily they only took from about the waist up. They didn't show your pink cowboy boots.
Yeah,
those were. Slick.
I thought those were garner more attention than they did. Sadly, Tom Candiotti with us on the show, and also here as always. A crowd of young boys fooling around in the corner, drunk and dressed in their best brown baggies and their platform soles. They don't give a damn about any trumpet-playing band that ain't what they call rock and roll. It's the Kingslayer, Leo Gilmartin.
The Kingslayer. The
Kingslayer, I like that.
That one might stick.
I doubt it.
On the program today, episode 16. It's kind of our combo show, a Cactus League wrap-up and a 2015 season preview. And there's a lot to talk about as we record this on Friday afternoon here at the ballpark, April 3rd. Opening day is Monday. We have a new addition to the brand-new hit segment that is Sweep of the Country. Hey, Gub is back. We'll talk opening night, which comes up Sunday at Wrigley Field. These Cubs will be in action. The ballpark will be a work in progress. But, guys, We just came from a Chip Hale news conference on Friday afternoon, and he made several announcements following the Trevor Cahill trade last night. First of all, if you have not heard, Trevor Cahill goes to Atlanta. The Diamondbacks, in making that move, saved about $5.5 million off the payroll, which is a nice, hefty little chunk you can save there. That applies to this season. So Cahill is in Atlanta. Archie Bradley is the fifth starter in the rotation. Archie will break camp in the Major League rotation. And Chip Hale telling us today that Chris Owings will be the second baseman. Nick Ahmed will be the shortstop. For now, Jake Lamb is at third. And Aaron Hill, who the Diamondbacks are reportedly trying to trade right now, for the moment as a backup third baseman. Where this leaves Yasmani Tomas, as of Friday afternoon, they're not saying. But they do need to have an answer by very early Sunday.
Well, I think it became apparent as we watched spring training that Archie probably deserved a roster spot, probably deserved to be in the rotation. And number two, I think athletically up the middle now, you've got a lot of talent, a lot of speed, and one guy who's at least going to hit, the other guy's going to be a work in progress. But I like the middle defense up the middle now with Owings at second and Ahmed at short.
I think, Candy, as spring training went on, it became almost beyond a point of debate that Chris Owings needed to be the second baseman and that Nick Ahmed is ready to be an everyday Major League shortstop, at least for me.
Well, Nick Ahmed really played a great shortstop. The games that I saw, you know, he was phenomenal out there. We saw Chris Owings where he played last year, very good out there, but he could play either one of those positions, mm-hmm. and Dave McKay really likes him as second base. So when you look at those three guys on the infield right now, not talking about Goldie, he's still a young guy too, but, you know, with Lamb and Ahmed and Owings, it's a pretty good nucleus of three really young guys that are, you know, all going to kind of grow up together.
And Brandon Drury in the mix as well, if not this season, then certainly sometime very soon. And when you throw in Gubb Tuffy Gozawish behind the plate, that's an outstanding defensive infield.
No doubt about it. And, you know, they're only going to get better the longer they play. You know, the ironic thing is Chris Owings is actually 2 years younger than Nick Ahmed.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, he was drafted when he was 17.
Drafted out of high school in Gilbert, South Carolina as a 17-year-old. He's been in the organization ever since then.
But,
so,
you know, I like the defense, and Goldie is as good as they come at first. So, you know, if it's Lamb at third base and the other two we talked about up the middle and Goldie, that's pretty darn good infield.
Well, you'll take that. You know, when you go out on the mound as a pitcher, you know, it's funny. When you look around and you'll talk to the manager, even the pitching coach, throughout the week, you know, in between starts, and you go, man, I really want this guy playing center field for me, you know, because I know I'm going to give up some shots, and I know this guy's going to be able to run him down. You look at A.J. Pollock out there, or even if it's Ender and Ciarte every once in a while, I mean, those guys could go get him. You know, and you look at the middle part of the infield with Ahmed now at Owings, they can really go get it. You know, Goldie, we've seen, you know, the range that he has at first, and Jake Lamb, I haven't seen a whole lot, a little bit last year, but, you know, he's a very young kid, he's very athletic, and so, you know, these guys are going to catch balls.
We've talked about the infield. You mentioned the outfield now. We know about Mark Trumbo and Wright. He's had an excellent spring. A.J. Pollock has looked like an all-star all spring long. He's had a terrific spring as well. That's right field and center. They say now in left field that David Peralta will start against right-hand pitchers, which means he's going to start about 60-75% of the time, and that Cody Ross will start against left-hand starters, and that Ender and Ciarte will be kind of a jack-of-all-trades out there. And Chip Hale says they can still, they think, find a way to get him about 400 at-bats in that role.
And I think they need to get him 400 at-bats.
I agree.
We know what he can do offensively, the improvement. He gives them that element of speed. So it's a nice problem to have, but I'm going to be real interested to see how Chip Hale does maneuver the outfielders, especially if somebody – what if all three guys are hot? How do you get a guy like Ciarte in there? You got to keep him fresh. And, you know, Cody 2 years ago was one of the top hitters in the National League, back to Major League Baseball against left-handed pitching.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a nice problem to have, Candy. You'd rather have problems like that than have a bunch of guys out there, well, you know, we're going to rotate them around because maybe this guy won't play that well. You'd rather have four or five guys really good.
Yeah, he's going to play the hot hand. There's no question about it because Ciarte is, you know, he can play every one of those positions in the outfield. And he can also be a leadoff hitter at times, too. If he maybe got a really tough right-handed pitcher out there, and you know, maybe you give AJ a blow here or there and put Inciarte out there. I mean, there's a number of things, and it creates, you know, flexibility and options for the manager, and managers love to have options like that. You know, if you use him later in the game, you know, he could steal a base for you, you know, from the seventh inning on. I mean, and then, you know, if you have a lead, maybe in the seventh inning, maybe you juggle the defense a little bit, and maybe Trumbo comes out of the game at that time. You're not quite sure yet.
Let me see. I think you guys will agree with me. You got about 40% of your outfield or two-fifths of your outfield that are good. And I'm talking about Inciarte and Pollock. And the other three, a little questionable in Trumbo, Peralta, and Cody. And Cody, because of the hip injury over the years. So you've got some the defense is not near as good in the outfield as it is in the infield.
Granted. But I think Mark Trumbo is moving much, much better than he did last year. He says he's more comfortable in right field. And just watching him, I certainly believe him. The body language, I think, says a lot. I think Mark Trumbo is a guy that you look at night and day difference. Of course, he's not fighting the injury. At this time last year was plantar fasciitis that turned into a stress fracture in that foot. I'm very optimistic about Mark Trumbo this year. I know
he's
going
to
have a big year offensively.
I think you'll catch everything
caught to
him.
But defensively, he's
going to
be okay.
Yeah, okay. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, he'll be. I don't think he's going to kill you. Yeah. As long as he keeps the ball in front of him. You're going to see the ball that maybe a guy catches that drops in front for an easy single, and you think, well, Peralta might have caught that. I think that's going to happen from time to time. But I don't think it's going to be a disaster out there by any stretch. Because
I don't think it'll be a disaster. I think Andrew's going to be playing a lot of defense late in the ballgame.
Which is great. But remember, our frame of reference, guys, defensively, for Mark Trumbo was what we saw early last year. And the guy was playing on one foot. I mean, he's not a gazelle out there anyway. So take that and then give him a stress fracture in the foot. He's not moving around too well. That's our frame of reference right now. So I think you sort of have to start with a clean slate on Trumbo defensively. Candy, you buying that at all?
Well, you know, last year was not real good, what we saw out in left field for me. I saw him play a few times for Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I talked to Tim Salmon about his defense last year, who's one of the neighbors of mine. And, you know, Tim says you'll be pleasantly surprised with him. And we didn't really get a chance to see that much last year. And he also told me that he'd hit 50 home runs. And, you know, that's probably not out of the question either, the way he's been swinging the bat. So, you know, I think for Mark to make an impact out there, obviously his offense is going to have to be very good to make up for, you know, the averageness of defense.
I think. That's all I'm saying is the outfield defense is not nearly as good as the infield
defense. And that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But in terms of pure raw power, which is the number one thing everybody out there is looking for right now, I can't think of more than four or five guys I'd have ahead of Trumbo on that list.
He had seven home runs in April last year before he got hurt.
Yeah.
And, you know, you spread that over 6 months, you're hitting 42. So, as you said, 50 may not be out of the question because he'll have some hot stretches, you know, where he's going to hit more than seven in a month.
Yeah, and, you know, another thing that's impressed me about Mark is when he came back last year, remember he really had trouble hitting for power, but he hit a lot of balls to right field. When I see a guy hit a lot of balls, you know, to right center field, a right-handed hitter, you know, that leads me to believe that this guy's making adjustments at the plate to, you know, not only put the bat on the ball a little bit more, but, you know, he's more conscientious about his average also, getting it up there, getting on base, hitting the ball in the gap. So not just a guy that's just spinning on the ball, you know, turning on it and seeing how far he can hit it. So to me, he's kind of evolving more as a complete hitter.
Hey, if you get two big swings on the count, you get down to two strikes and he can take it the other way, I got no problem with that. And I agree. I think this spring we saw him strike out less.
Yes.
And I think we saw him hit, you know, with two strikes, take a lot of balls to right and right center field, which is going to get him RBIs. Guy's going to drive in runs.
Yep.
His guy's going to get base in front of him.
The line that Chip Hale said today in the news conference that was Friday afternoon, just an hour or so ago from when we're taping this, that jumped out to me was this, and I think it says everything about the Diamondbacks in 2015. And Chip said, we are turning our team over to our youth. And it's going to be a lot of fun watching this collection of very talented young guys because that's what they are, especially offensively, and the pitching is coming. There's a lot to be excited about with this team and watching this group come together as a group and see what they can do.
I think the players that they took to camp, I think we would agree. And the final cut is not here yet. Some things could happen.
Right.
There could be a trade or two. We could see some options. Maybe we go, wow, that kind of surprised me. But I think the moves that we've seen so far have pretty been in line with what we were thinking.
Yes.
You know, the trade of Cahill to create a spot for RG. You know, Lamb's getting a lot of time at third. We were hoping both Peralta and Inciarte would make the 25, and they're going to do that. You know, Owings defensively and Ahmed up the middle. I guess the big question becomes, who's the backup catcher for Tuffy right now as far as offense? I mean, you know, position players is concerned. But I really think everything we've seen has not been surprising to me at this point.
Everything has been a baseball decision. And that's a term we hear the Cubs use a lot. I think Chris Bryant discussions.
Yeah.
But I think to the organization's credit, and Chip Hale has said this, look, the front office has said forget money. And Chip said that, in fact, a number of times this afternoon. Forget the money. Forget who's making what. What's best for the team? And that's what they've done. And they, along the way, they have saved themselves some money, granted, with Trevor Cahill. They may do the same with Aaron Hill if they can trade him. But this has been about baseball decisions, Candy.
Yeah, and that's nice. And, you know, that's a very refreshing phrase, you know, for the fans really to hear. You know, they're putting the best product they can on the field, not worrying about who's getting what and how much someone's making and all that stuff. But I think this team still is going to be defined on, you know, when these pitchers come together. When we had Dave Stewart on, was it last weekend, you know, up in the booth, you know, he said, you know, he was happy with the pitching. But when they come together, he used that term, when they come together, and when you're part of a pitching staff, you know, it's like one guy picking the other guy up, and, you know, it gets contagious just like hitting does. And so when guys are able to, you know, and you can trust what they're going to give you when they take the mound, then I think this team will start making strides.
From what you saw of Archie this spring and just knowing about him and knowing his competitive side, are you glad he's getting this opportunity right now?
Well, I'm glad because I think he pitched his way on this team, and I love to see that. You know, we've heard other things from people that he's not ready yet, that he's, you know, he's, you know, whatever the reason is. But, you know, he maybe took that to heart, and he went out there and he proved it. I mean, his walks were way down. You know, his stuff was very good. I liked his curveball. He's able to double up on his curveball, and that shows me that someone's got confidence in their secondary pitches to be able to do that. His fastball was pretty good. You know, maybe it's not off the charts at 99 or whatever the heck it is, but
he pitches.
He pitches to me, and you know, when you stick him down in that, I guess number five hole, four or five hole, whatever
five.
It is,
five.
And you know, just let him relax down there, and you don't have those high expectations. And he actually got a chance to really make an impact on this team.
We had a point fairly early in March where Dave Stewart said publicly that, in his opinion, Archie Bradley wasn't ready, meaning wasn't ready for the big leagues. Archie and he apparently had a conversation about that. They worked out any potential issues there. And from that point on, in his final three starts of the spring, at Peoria against the Padres, at Tempe Diablo against the Angels, and then the last start earlier this week at Goodyear against the Reds, those last three starts, each one was better than the one before, and Archie, really right down to the very last week of camp, Gubb, I think, forced their hand. He earned the spot on this team.
And I don't know Dave Stewart enough. I don't know if Stu is trying to light a fire under Archie to see what his last three starts would be like. Candy, you've known Dave Stewart for a lot of years. Maybe that was intention. Maybe it wasn't. But whatever that conversation was, it obviously got – I think Archie pitched pretty well before that, but he even picked it up after the conversation.
Yeah, and that's what I was kind of referring to before as I was saying that. You know, I think he read that, he heard that. Yeah. He obviously had a conversation, you know, with Stu or with Tony or with Chip. And you know, some guys will tuck themselves in a shell when they hear that. Other guys will take it to heart.
We've seen a lot.
All right, I'll prove you wrong. And, you know, and that's what you love about Archie. He went out and proved him wrong, and he opened some eyes, and he made this team pitch his way right on this club.
In talking about turning our team over to our youth guys, and you look at what's around the diamond now and some of the things we've seen over the last couple of years, and Trevor Cahill is in Atlanta now, and Archie Bradley is here, and we'll see what happens with Aaron Hill, but now it's Owings and Ahmed and Lamb at third, and we don't know about Tomas. But it's almost like there was a weather system over you where it's just rainy and crappy for a few days and you're kind of waiting for clear, and then one day it's nice and sunny again. It feels different. I think it's been an injection of energy into the ball club and into the organization, and it just feels different, and I think there's a lot of reasons for excitement about it. Just because of that thing alone, it's a different feeling here.
Well, you know, we went into last season, I think a lot of people were optimistic, and then all the injuries hit. And injuries can take a ball club right down. The Diamondbacks saw half of their lineup out at one time or another last
1,400 days missed two injuries.
So, 1,400. And a ton of at-bats. So you knock on wood, but you're going to have some injuries. But I do think now that the Diamondbacks have got some pitchers. I think they've got some offense. I think they've got a little bit of defense in the minor leagues. And looking at guys like Drury and Brito and some of these other kids, if somebody gets hurt, they're not going to be afraid to go down and bring up some of these guys that we saw come up last year. And you just, this is what they're bringing up. That's not going to be the case anymore.
Well, and also, you know, getting back to what you were saying too, you know, guys love to know their roles.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of uncertainty, like you're talking about. Who's going where? What if he doesn't play third? Is he going to left field? Am I, you know, there's all kinds of this stuff that we were discussing and flipping coins about. But now when there's certainty and roles are starting to get defined, then guys are able to relax and get comfortable in that position, just like they like knowing where they're going to hit in the batting order.
I was going to say, that to me is
the
big.
Same thing.
Yeah.
And they know where they're going to be. I've talked to Luis Gonzalez about this. Both of us have many times, and you know he is a big proponent of knowing when you get to the ballpark, you know you're playing where you're hitting, and so you know it's a big deal. So you know I'll take Gonzo for his word that on that, and you know defensively it's the same thing. Guys want to know where they're at, so I think it's you know like you said, you know it's a nice sunny day and everything. The things are a little bit decided now.
Yeah, it's. It's fun. It's going to be fun. I think it's really going to be a good season to watch this group come together because this is a very talented young group. And I always read guys about anytime the national media writes about this team, a team that was almost universally ignored by the national media throughout last season after the 8-22 start and some of the injuries. People, and I'm talking about national people here, I think really have forgotten that there's a pretty good talented core group of young players here.
There is.
Yeah. And every time I read somebody's written this or that or the other snarky thing.
They're not with the team every day. They don't know.
You're not watching what's here. Pay attention. Forget about Tomas and can he play third. And no, look at what's here. And I think the narrative is going to change very quickly, or maybe not quickly. Maybe it'll take a while. But I think it's going to change over the course of the season about the Diamondbacks, about the decisions that have been made, and about where this team is headed.
And most of those national guys, they only know what they read. I mean, really, for most of them, they don't get out and they don't give the eyeball test. They're not in the everyday operation, and they can't be. There's no way you could be like that with all the teams. But they kill the Diamondbacks. But when you're here like we are and seeing what's happening day in, day out, you saw how the team was affected last year by injuries.
Yeah.
But you know the talent. There's a lot of guys that don't even know about A.J. Pollock.
No.
And when you see him every day, this guy's going to emerge as a star this year. And he's going to really have a coming out party.
Yeah, he's going to have a big season.
And I'll tell you another thing, too. And we witnessed it firsthand when the Diamondbacks dealt Justin Upton and Chris Johnson to Atlanta. What they got in return, everybody was saying, oh, my goodness. You know, they just got.
Oh, they got buried.
It's
Seven
not
Towers got buried.
And Martin Prado is the only one that's gone. And now you've got Randall Delgado, who's going to hold an important spot on the pitching staff. You've got Nick Ahmed, who's going to be your starting shortstop, maybe one of the better defenders in the National League and in Major League Baseball, and perhaps a star in the making, who may be the best of the whole lot, Brandon Drury. So you just never know about things like that. And that's a deal I think that the Diamondbacks can look at, you know, this year and even on down the line, that's going to reap some benefits.
I'm right there with you. So we're looking forward to opening day. A couple of notes about opening day. We'll get to Hey Gubb. Monday here. There's a lot going on. I'm told Bud Selig is going to be here. Are you guys hip to that?
Yes. He's going to throw out
the
first
pitch.
Leo's
been ready. He's been ready. He's going to fix his chair this year.
Leo, it's the former commissioner. I hope you're on your best behavior that day.
As I understand
we got a whole special chair. You're testing out his chair, actually.
Oh, yeah, I'm
in the commissioner's chair right now.
As I understand, Bud's going to throw out the first pitch in Milwaukee, then fly here that evening and throw out the first pitch here.
The 2015 season opener here at Chase Field Monday night against the Giants. A special appearance by the big unit, Randy Johnson, and former I guess his title now is Commissioner Emeritus Bud Selig. So that's before the 7:10 start. Other pregame festivities. National anthem sung by American Idol winner Taylor Hicks. I never heard of Taylor Hicks, but I went. He had a lot of Twitter followers, so I assume that he's popular. You ever heard of him?
No.
Big time. Candy?
You guys heard of Taylor Hicks?
Candies? Have the candies?
I'm asking the young kids.
No, all right. Well, I'm told he's big time. Also, this is back, and this is always one of the really cool moments. a flyover opening day by two F-16s from the 309th Fighter Squadron at Luke Air Force Base right after the national anthem. So you're going to get a big-time anthem, and then you're going to get the flyover from Luke. That's going to be cool. Get here early, opening day street festival. That'll begin at 4 o'clock in front of the Gila River Casinos Plaza, 4th Street in Jackson. They're going to have food trucks there, D-backs, inflatables, other activities, a performance by the Walkins at 5. Game 7 Grill will be going up. That'll be open up actually in the morning at 11 a.m. So you can go to Game 7 Grill on the plaza out here all day long, and you'll be able to enjoy that right up until game time opening day. D-back staff will be handing out 40,000 2015 D-backs magnet schedules, courtesy of our friends at Pepsi. Limited tickets are still available for opening day. There's still a chance here and for the rest of that series against the Giants. So we're set to go. And, of course, you can't get ready for opening day without a segment. Well, as we've said, it's the new hit segment that is sweeping the country. And it's time for the Earl of Grantham, the Governor, Greg Schulte, to look back at great opening days in the past. Here now, hey, Gov.
Governor!
Now, the man who's seen it all.
Now we got the ball, and this is a bat.
The D-backs play-by-play voice since our very first game, and then some.
Now look at here!
It's this week's edition of Hey, Governor!
Well, baseball's opening day, no other sport can match it. For the Arizona Diamondbacks, the 2015 season marks opening day number 18. Over the previous 17 openers, the D-backs have fashioned a 10-7 record, including a seven-game win streak from 2007 through 2013. One of the more memorable opening days in team history occurred in 2001. Dodgers Stadium, Randy Johnson for the D-backs against Eric Gagne for the Dodgers. Now, the Dodgers had opened the season the day prior, shutting out the Milwaukee Brewers 1-0 behind Chano Park and two relievers. Bob Brenly was making his managerial debut for Arizona, and 2001 would mark the first full season of the pitching tandem, Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling. So D-backs' expectations were high heading in. The D-backs opened fast. Tony Womack singled, opened up on a ground out, and then scored on a single by Matt Williams, 1-0 Arizona. It stayed that way till the bottom of the fourth. Johnson had fanned four through three innings, but in the fourth, back-to-back walks with one out, putting him in a jam. Paul Laduca lined a double to left. That scored both, and that gave the Dodgers a 2-1 advantage. It remained 2-1 through six innings. Johnson's strikeout total was at 10. In the seventh, Mark Grace stroked a double to right, leading things off. And then Luis Gonzalez stepped to the plate. Gonzo belted a two-run homer to right, and Arizona had the lead back 3-2. It would be the first of 57 home runs for Gonzo that season, and he drove in 142 runs in 2001. Johnson's day was over. Brenly went to the pen, and he brought in Byung-Hyun Kim. BK had a typical BK outing, a strikeout of Mark Grzelcyk. He walked Gary Sheffield, but he struck out Eric Karros. Sean Green walked, but then Kim got Jeff Rebouillet looking at a called third strike, and it was still 3-2 D-backs after eight. After Arizona failed to add to the lead in the top of the ninth, Matt Manti came on to close things out. Manti allowed a two-out pinch hit to Chris Donalds, but he got Marquise Grissom to pop up to Tony Womack at short to end the ballgame. The Diamondbacks grabbed a 3-2 victory. Oh, and if you're curious, Schilling pitched the next day. And like the big unit, he worked seven innings, struck out a dozen. The D-backs won 7-2. 2001, a banner year in Diamondbacks history as they went on to beat the Yankees in one of baseball's most exciting World Series ever. But it all started on opening day.
By the way, speaking of opening day, guys, I found this pretty interesting. All 30 opening day starting pitchers have been announced, and 19 of those teams will have a new pitcher getting the opening day start, 19 of the 30,
wow,
which is the most new opening day starters baseball has seen since 2005, so it's the most in a decade here. Of course, Josh Colemanter is on that list. He'll start here Monday against the Giants. National Leaguers Kyle Loesch for Milwaukee, James Shields for the Padres, Bartolo Colon for the Mets, the Rockies Kyle Kendrick, the Nationals Max Scherzer, and John Lester goes for the Cubs. By the way, the current leader in opening day starts is now the Mariners' Felix Hernandez,
King Felix starts Monday against the Angels' Jared Weaver, so it'll be seven straight opening days for King Felix. We're about to wrap up our sort of our Cactus League review opening day preview podcast, and it's time, boys. I gave you a homework assignment for this.
Oh, you did?
And I include Leo here. I want one. Give me one bold prediction. Now, by bold prediction, I mean kind of out there a little bit, but something that has a chance to actually happen.
My bold prediction is Candy will not like my bold prediction.
That's not. That's a bold not.
I was going to say that's not really embracing the theme of bold prediction. What do you got? What's your bold prediction?
Bold prediction.
I'll give you mine. I'll sort of set the tone for this. My bold prediction this year: Ruby De La Rosa will throw a no-hitter.
He might. He might walk.
He might.
Like Edwin
he's
Jackson.
He might pull an Edwin Jackson, and he might finish the season with a losing record. But he is a guy who, when he's on, is filthy, crazy good. And I think at some point over the course of this season, Ruby De La Rosa throws a no-hitter.
I don't know how bold this is, but I predict the Diamondbacks will have two Gold Glove winners on the infield.
On the infield? Okay. I'd give you the whole field if you want. You'll settle for the – that's pretty good.
Take two out of four.
Leo, how are you still ruminating?
I'm still ruminating.
All right, we'll get back to you. Candy, have a bold prediction time for
now,
you.
Now, is the bold prediction – for the Diamondbacks anything in baseball?
You can throw in an extra if you want, a supplemental bold prediction, if you will. But something from the Diamondbacks 2015, that's kind of out there. It's a bold prediction. You're putting yourself out there a bit. But it does have a chance to maybe kind of happen.
Mark Trumbo will lead the league in home runs.
That's good.
A little bit bold. Supplemental pick will be Troy Tulowitzki plays 162 games.
Now, there's no way that I was going to say. Let's not get nuts.
You wanted bold.
Now, that is bold. That's very bold.
That is really bold.
That is very
That's
bold.
That's brazen.
And they're going to, I tell you what, they're going to need him too. He and Cargo. We go back now to the back of the room.
I don't know how out there. I think A.J. Pollock this year will be an all-star.
I think, to me, the guys that had the three best springs from the first day down to the last were Trumbo, Pollock, and Ahmed. I went to just about every game.
Girardi was pretty good, too. He had a little stretch where he kind of slept off.
But from the first day right to the last, A.J. Pollock, Mark Trumbo, Nick Ahmed, for me, had the best springs. So that's something to build on. And that's something to close the show with. And that's it for Episode 16. For us here at Chase Field, two more games against the Cubs, then the opener Monday night against the Giants, the whole thing. Remember, individual tickets for Arizona Diamondbacks games on sale right now. You can purchase your tickets online, dbacks.com/tickets, or you can visit the box office here at Chase Field. You can also call, don't send a raven. Call and order your D-backs tickets, 602-514-8400. By the way, I got a lot of positive feedback on the Twitter about our Game of Thrones theme from the last episode.
I still don't understand
The Game of Thrones people loved it. Follow the D-backs on Facebook,
Say
Twitter,
people
Instagram.
Or person.
There were at least two.
Okay.
Follow this show on the Twitter D-backs podcast. You'll find our shows posted at both dbacks.com and on iTunes. D-backs podcast brought to you by Beverages by Hoffman, by Martin Paints at Anch's Paints, and Matzah's by Stripes. I'd like to thank our special guest, Tom Candiotti, for stopping by. Candy, thanks as always.
Oh, my pleasure.
And as Dire Straits sings, and then the man, he steps right up to the microphone and says at last, just as the time bell rings, good night, now it's time to go home. But he makes it fast with one more thing. We are the Sultans. We are the Sultans of Swing. For the Earl of Grantham, the Governor, Greg Schulte, and the Kingslayer, Leo Gilmartin, I'm Steve Berthume. Opening day is almost here. We'll talk to you again soon from here at Chase Field. So long, everybody.
This has been another edition of D-backs Podcast.
The game is over. The Diamondbacks have got to win here.
Thanks for listening.
It's over. Go home.
We'll see you soon at Chase Field for more D-backs Baseball.